Hey everyone, it's Ryan from Scratched. I wanted to take a second to invite you to become part of the Scratched family. Feel free to join us in the Scratched Podcast fans group on Facebook. We tend to share there the most and love to joke around and have some fun, often at our own expense, with everyone in the group. If that's not your cup of tea, you can follow us on Twitter or subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. Now, without further ado, let's get right into episode 120, where things might get a little clingy.
So what the hell, man? What is with this freaking war cry crap that's been going on? Did you guys keep track of this
when it hit? I have not been following the articles, but I've been seeing the headlines pop up everywhere.
Holy Moses.
I don't know what you guys are talking. War cry? What do you mean?
Well, it's WannaCry, I guess is what it is. I thought it was war cry, but I've had a long day. Ransomware attack, man. Last week and a half or so ago. All hell broke loose on the internet and... geez Louise, man. Nobody knows where this stuff was planted. It's just starting to crop up every now and again here or there. And a couple of places, government places in Europe got held up hostage, essentially. And I had heard that they were talking like a ridiculous amount of money on some of these things, like send us $600 or some crap like that. It was just stupid. But, you know, they just end up hijacking the entire system. It's crazy. And they still can't figure out who it is. North Korea said it wasn't them. It's like, okay, whatever, you know. But I haven't really heard anything else either. I don't know.
So is it coming like via email or how is this getting sent out?
Well, most of it, yeah, most of it'll come through an email attack. You open up an errant email and you basically unlock your entire security system, essentially. It's crazy as stuff, man. I guess they've had certain fixes that went in, but they're not really working either. It's just a nightmare, man. I can't believe it. There's a huge security firm, okay? It's called Kaspersky. And interesting, it has a Russian name, all I'm saying. They've been all over it trying to fix it, and they get close and then it falls apart, and they get close and it falls apart, and it seems to really just... beat the piss out of Windows 7. It's like, good Lord, man. Just a nightmare. And of course, you know, a lot of companies still here haven't upgraded to 10, so everybody's freaking out, you know.
So has it hit any big companies yet?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
It's mainly been like personal computers and stuff.
No, as far as I know, it hasn't hit any PCs. Personal side. I don't know that anybody's entire system has been taken on the personal side. I think their main attack was towards corporate and government installations.
Oh boy.
Yeah. It's really nuts. One article I'm just sort of scanning right now. They wanted $300 worth of Bitcoin. It's like, holy smokes, man.
Wow.
You know. But infections have occurred in China and Russia, and I mean, it's just, oh my God, what a nightmare, you know.
Hospitals as well.
Yeah, hospitals. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that was the one I was thinking of. That hospital. It was somewhere in Europe. I can't remember exactly where, but an entire hospital got locked up. They had people in surgery, the whole nine yards, and the whole system went down. Yeah, what a nightmare.
Vladimir Putin was quoted as saying, I don't know the exact quote, but that World War III is going to be a digital, you know, through the internet, and in this type of you know, situation. He was quoted as saying that. I read that somewhere earlier in the week, and he might be right. It might be a cyber war.
I don't see that being that far. Well, I can tell you this. It probably wars are not only, you know, done in terms of military gain, but you're going after a financial gain in some cases too, you know, a financial...
Mainly,
yeah.
Wars are actually financial gain as opposed to anything else. The main bulk of war is that it's in order to you know, enlarge the pot.
Sure,
you know that you own.
Be it either resources or finances or what have you. So I don't doubt for a minute that he's probably right. To date, more than 300,000 computers in approximately 150 countries were infected. In spite of how quickly the malware spread, it's believed that the hackers behind WannaCry only managed to rake in around 90,000 total. So,
and another thing, I don't know if you guys touched on it, but this actual virus program, according to what I had read, I don't have anything in front of me, but I recall from this past week, mm-hmm. is that it originated from the NSA. This was something that was taken, and then it was put up out on the market. It was actually, you know, put up for sale, I think it was last year, and they said, look, this can unlock, and this can do this, 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 and that, and they put it up for sale. Nobody bought it. Nobody believed them. And so they released it for free on the internet, according to what I had read this past week. And now we have what we have now. Scratched.
So I've always heard rumors that Russia would be able to shut down our grid if they wanted to. If they really wanted to, they had the capability to be able to do it. Now, whatever truth there is to that, it makes me think, because we've become so reliant on our technology, our power, you know, the regular amenities that are around us every day. But I think of you especially, Eloy. What happens if, say, they did take over the grid or whatever, shut it down, and you no longer had power? What would you do? Because I know you rely heavily on that air conditioner.
Well, it would be pretty terrible, but I did spend 2 weeks without power here in Sweetwater during Hurricane Andrew, the aftermath. We couldn't drink the water. We couldn't, we didn't have electricity. We'd barbecue outside. So we pretty much survived. Even back then, we didn't have internet and anything like that, but we did have TV. We had TV. That was the only thing that we would really, you know, be interested in, you know, watching with electricity that I can remember.
I mean, we become
radios. You had batteries.
I say reliant, like, you're not necessarily reliant on your cell phone or some of those extra things, you know, TV, this and that. I wouldn't say I'm reliant on them. But what about the normal things, like if you have an electric stove or if you want to clean your laundry? I mean, I know there's obviously ways to do that stuff without it, but how would a mass amount of the population adjust to that so quickly?
Oh, it'd be stinky for a while.
Yeah.
Hope you like cold showers. You know.
Yeah. I think people would adapt.
Oh, sure.
I think that there would be a terrible, it would be a crisis, because a lot of people, I mean, frankly, I like electricity.
I'm a fan.
I like electricity, and it facilitates. I mean, I have lights. Dude, you know, just 100 years ago or more, 100 years ago or so, we'd be not doing this, and inside our rooms we'd have gas mm-hmm. lights or candlelight,
yep.
and literally, you know, you'd be reading a book or Lord knows what. You know, but it would be nighttime, and you're done. But now we have we don't even appreciate it. What you're saying, we don't appreciate we all forget. Actually, we have no need to forget, because we grew up with electricity. But just imagine right now, I have AC, I've got the lights, I've got a computer, I've got a microphone, I've got a camera. Freaking even the dog is happy about electricity.
Yeah, we use a charcoal.
Does Vigo know what it's like to live without AC?
Years ago, I was working. I don't even remember what, like, upgrade, but I was working on an upgrade in the house. And I freaking, you know, a breaker went. But, and by the way, it was like around 5 in the afternoon, and Vigo was little, and I'm like, fuck. I'm like, damn, there's no electricity. So I go over to the breaker box and I flip the breaker. And you know that when your breaker collapses, you just flip it back and you're good to go, because it's there for that purpose.
Yes.
Well, it's there for that purpose. You would assume, right?
Yeah.
So I flipped it and it wouldn't stay. It just come back. It wouldn't, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And then I went to the other ones and none of them. And I was like, whoa. And it's getting dark. And the amount of desperation at that moment. And by the way, my old man had passed recently. At that point in time, I was basically alone in the house, and I was deciding to upgrade things so that I could feel better about the situation. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? And but this happens, and I'm like, holy crap. And so I'm looking at the breakers, and I'm like, none of them are working. Could this be a complete, you know, maybe all the breakers are bad. I pulled the breakers, and I got in the car and drove to Home Depot. And I drive to Home Depot, and I said, look, the strangest freaking thing, man. You know, I need this breaker, and they had some breakers there. I bought a bag of breakers. Breakers are expensive.
Yes, they are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So I come back. It's dark now. I'm holding a flashlight. I'm installing the new breakers, removing the old breakers, you know, reconnecting the wires. I mean, I've got the flashlight up on a small ladder, and it's focused and stuff, and boom, boom. And then I turn them on, and they don't do anything. Same thing.
Hmm.
And at this point, I'm...
You got a ground fault somewhere.
You were mentioning electricity and how important. I was, like, freaking livid. It's, like, dark. I've got, like, a candle or two. But I'm going to spend the rest of the night in the heat. You know, it's horrible. No lights. You know, I had anything to eat. And I'm like, man, I'm angry. And then my brain, the little spark, the two little, you know, the flint.
Neurons.
Finally, get a little spark just. And I remembered I have a house main outside.
Oh, no.
I went outside through the back, and I opened the main, and sure enough, I went clack, and everything went TVs, air conditioners.
Like freaking National Lampoons when he plugs in the lights.
I felt like such an ass at that moment. I had a bag full of freaking, yeah, dude.
I hate that. Oh, I hate that. I've got a GFC breaker that connects into my garage, so literally everything in the garage is tied to that one little breaker, along with a bathroom and a couple of sinks up here, and that's the end of that. Well, I plug in the dust collector for the very first time, and pow, the whole thing goes. I'm like, oh, freaking hell, I hate this, you know? So, out the garage door, around the house, go to the side of the house, fall down about 15 rocks, and flip it back over, and go back in, turn the thing on, pow. I was like, oh, God dang it. So come back out again, turn it up. So now I'm trying to rearrange things in the shop. It's like, okay, I can't use this while I'm doing that, or I can't do this while I'm doing it. I got radio turned off, and I'm trying to manage this balancing act, you know. And it dawns on me, damn. I have a cousin that's an electrician. So I call up my cousin Dave. I'm like, Dave, I got a problem. He says, let me guess. You've overloaded the garage. I said, yeah. He says, well, I could come out, but it's going to cost you. Like, oh, man.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
He's your cousin.
Dude, he lives... Okay, so we recently found out we have some listeners in Wyoming, and unfortunately that was Eloy's line, but I stole it. Thank you, Wyoming. He's dang near in Wyoming. I mean, like, in the mountains and almost to Wyoming, so it's like an hour and a half, two-hour drive just to come down, and trust me. Yeah, he's my cousin, and so he's actually the one that saved my life, but I would gladly pay that bill for him, but I never did. So.
He lives up in the mountains?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, you talk about your floods, he floods out too, and badly, really badly.
But wait a second. So what, I mean, look, I love wilderness, and it's super iconic, Wyoming. I mean, it is. But my question is, what does the population look like out there? I mean, what does it...
Hundreds.
Look like to live out in
I would say he's in where he lives is probably hundreds, literally. It's up in the hills, and first off, you got to have some money.
Wyoming.
To live. Well, it's he's in Colorado, but might as well be Wyoming. He's way up north and way.
But man, Wyoming though. I mean, that's an iconic. I mean, it's got such rich history.
Yeah, everybody wants to live in Wyoming.
I'll be the first to tell you, man, since a little kid, I've always thought, man, Wyoming, man.
Grass
set you
the
up.
Cowboy movies.
Set you up so well. I don't know why. That was the perfect lead, and you ate it. I can't believe it. Scratched. We actually, my dad and I went fishing a long time ago.
In Wyoming?
In Wyoming, yeah. It's called the Miracle Mile. It's in a very small, now partially or almost completely abandoned town called Sinclair. And we, it was like 9 or 10 of us that went up, a bunch of guys that he worked with and a friend of mine and his dad and the whole nine. I will tell you this much. I forget what river that is. I don't think it's the Snake. It might be the Green, one of the two. The last day I cast out, and we were in the middle of a drought that year, so the waters weren't running that well anyway. But I cast out, and I waited, and I waited, and I usually fish the bottom. I've got what's called a crappie rig, and you've got a leader and a leader, and you got two hooks on, and I usually throw salmon eggs or whatever on, and it's usually, trout love the hell out of that. They'll beat that
damn,
all day.
I'll eat that.
All day long, so.
I could eat that right now. Salmon? Hell yeah.
Well, and we have kokanee salmon, too, and kokanee run through the water as well. They're not as big as the king salmon that you're probably used to seeing on TV, but they're decent size. So all of a sudden, my rod just bends over like a C, and it's just really screaming. And I got my spin caster set to where, you know, I've got some drag, but not a lot. And I'm like, what is going on here? So I set the hook, and I'm trying to reel. And it's like, God almighty, what have I got on here? A dead body? What is going on? And there's no fighting this thing. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe I got a tree or something, you know. All of a sudden, the biggest, brownest back I've ever seen on a fish comes bumping out of the water and drops back down again right as it's getting to my feet. Well, I foul hooked a carp, and it's one of the biggest grass carp I've ever seen in my life, you know. For those of you who have never seen a carp, imagine a fish with a big old suction cup on the front of its face, right? And then the brownest thing you've ever seen. It's almost brown as a turd. And they're kind of thought of as turd fish anyway. But
bottom feeders.
Oh, they are horrible. Yeah, that's what they eat. I was trying to avoid that, but yeah. Anyway, this thing took two of us to get it up.
Poo-poo platter?
Poo-poo platter, exactly. Yeah, for our... never mind.
So, by the way, what was the Taiwan? What was it? I've also always wanted to. Wasn't Taiwan?
Taiwan,
Indonesia.
Philippines.
Indonesia. I've always wanted to visit.
I don't think we've
the Indonesian isles.
I don't think we
because
have
of
Indonesia.
The pirates of the past.
No,
and the trading silk and tea.
We have
it's
not
just such a rich.
We have not captured Indonesia yet. In our wonderful game of World Risk, we have been able to capture the Philippines, Taiwan.
It does remind me
Peninsula.
Of a risk map.
Vietnam and Japan.
A risk board.
So.
The Philippines, they make great movies, though.
I am going to go through Kamchatka and come down through Russia and finish off most of Eastern Asia. Anyway, yeah, this thing was just huge. It was the only thing I caught the whole time, except for I got tired of fishing the spot we were on, and nine of us are in this spot, so you can imagine. Okay. 5 years prior, my dad had gone up with a bunch of the other guys that were with us at that point, and they were pulling out trout as long as your leg. German brown, rainbow, humongous. I mean, they were just massive fish. So I'm like, let's go. Finally get to go. Of course, it's a freaking drought year, so the water's low, and they're not eating, and they're not spawning, and it's like, damn it. So I go up the stream trying to figure this out. I'm not having much luck because it gets more and more narrow and more shallow the further up the stream I go. So I turn around, and all of a sudden I see, or hear, really, behind me these trees rustling, and these things are going like, you know, back and forth and back and forth. I'm like, what the hell's coming after me? This is a bear? What is this? You know, stupid cow. And then this cow is following me back to our campsite. Okay, we had a cabin and a whole nine yards. This cow is literally splosh, splosh, splosh. And I'd stop and turn around and she'd look at me like, what are you doing? And I just keep walking. And finally, I took the tip of my rod and whapped her right in the tip of the nose. And she... And she kind of moved away from it. And I thought, okay, good. Now I'm good. And she's not going to follow me back to camp. So I start walking. Well, damn it, here she comes again. And she's behind me now, bumping me along the way. Damn near knocked me over like three times. And I finally had enough. And I said, God damn it. And I reared up and popped her with the pop, you know, like a hammer blow right between the eyes. And she shook her head and turned around and went back to where she was going. But I've never been physically assaulted by a cow. That was really weird.
Right. When you turned around, you didn't expect to see a
I had no idea
cow.
She was going to come after me again, let alone, you know.
But you felt, did you feel, I mean, the question is, did you get a sense that she was trying to be friendly or?
I think she was just curious. I wanted to know what the hell I was doing out there, you know.
Was she feeling lonely?
Oh, she may have been, yeah. But, you know, I didn't hang around to find out.
Were there other cows in the area?
Mm. I never did find out. Apparently there's a ranch or something around there. Yeah. Yeah. But.
Wow. Maybe she was lost, dude.
Well, as far as I know, she's still lost. Unless I met her at McDonald's. I don't know. I wouldn't know her if I saw her again. But cow's a cow.
Scratched.
So what's the population like in Wyoming? I mean, what are the... Is there a big difference with the people in Wyoming as far as attitudes and culturally, say, compared to Colorado?
25 years ago, I would have said no. Not really. But since we've had an influx from other states, oh, yeah. I think...
Why
that's
the influx?
A fair statement.
I don't understand.
I have no idea.
it's such an odd thing.
Because it started before then, just so you know.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah. What Ryan is not so, you know, jadedly referring to, my state was one of the first
grass.
To validate. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
He just says grass.
I know. Eli, I try to be nice and gentle, and Eli's just like, he jammed that sucker in, you know.
I'll tell you one thing though about, I'll tell you one thing about grass, you know, I personally don't like it. Personally, me, I don't. But I've never seen an issue, or I don't see an personally. I don't see an issue with folks that want to do. I don't see. I see it like it's a freaking tree, it's a plant. You know, honestly, and I don't think that that kind of stuff should be, I mean, unless you commit an act while you're intoxicated, I don't think that kind of stuff should be regulated anyhow, frankly. So, I mean, high
well,
five
the
for Colorado.
Thing
I don't know what
is not so hopefully we don't go off on a tangent here, but isn't it a Schedule I drug?
I don't know
like,
if it's...
With heroin wow. and methamphetamine.
No, I don't
and,
remember. Oh, because, no.
Yeah,
no,
no, I no, do no. believe it is, because I'm pretty sure there's harder drugs that are Schedule II. I'm not sure what it is, because I swear I read an article not too long ago that said marijuana is a Schedule I, which is one of the highest penalty or penalized drugs. And, like, I think heroin or maybe it's methamphetamine is Schedule II.
Yeah, meth is two. We used to write a lot of
nuts?
Stuff for possession of Schedule II.
How is pot Schedule I and meth is Schedule II?
I don't know. There's
that's insanity.
April 7 from, and consider the source here, the Cannabis, new federal bill would reschedule marijuana as Schedule III. However, according to Wikipedia, Schedule I, Controlled Substance Act. Yeah, I'll be danged. I had no idea. Maybe because of its... I don't know.
It's very profuse everywhere. But, you know, okay, so, like, as far as that is concerned, so the libertarian concept, which I'm kind of a libertarian, my belief system, is that no harm, no foul. There's no connection. If you damage no one, then what business is it of mine? You know, to say, be it lifestyle or anything other. So I don't know the whole weed. I mean the Native Americans, the Indians use it forever, and still do. So it's not like.
Why you say it like that? Man. And still do. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't. Do you guys feel I don't buy into. Not that I buy into it. I personally prefer not to indulge in that, but like I don't know, man. Is it a big do you guys see it as a big deal?
Not really. It's been probably 13 years since I've had anything to do with it, and I don't know. I guess my view of it hasn't changed a whole lot.
I was as we all know now, knee deep in everything. So on a personal note, I look at it as, well, if I say yes to that, it's easy for me to say yes to everything else that came along. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just because I lack the personal willpower once started to stop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I might not be the one to ask. 15, 20 years ago, I had a completely different opinion than I do now. But that's just for personal preservation. So I'm not sure that would be a valid answer to your question.
Yeah. I'm like blown away with the statistics, though, of how many people are in prison, jail, whatever you want to call it, that have been, you know, charged with crimes associated with that. That's just ridiculous. It really is.
I mean, so there's also another thing that is mentioned, you know, which I believe, if you, you know, make something illegal, you tend to get it in the seedier parts of society used as currency. And like in the 80s with the coke and all that, it became, you know, all these gangs, the Cubans, the Colombians, and the Italians as well. I mean, and all these, and all these, you know, gunfights and all that. But like, if something is, and that's what happened with prohibition with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people were drinking, it's like telling people not to have sex. No matter, like, a church saying, do not have sex. It's, dude, it's such a normal, sure, we're human beings and we get to, you know, delegate, you know, who and what and where and when. But we're human beings, dude. It's such a part of, you can control humans for a little while, but eventually humans will do that which is in their nature to do, you know. And if you put a criminalized stamp on something, you just get more of it, and then criminals use it to commit crime. Like, if drugs were, like, let's say there's no limit to drugs everywhere, you might end up with a shitty society. But then again, it's everywhere, so it's like people in Amsterdam. I don't know who I was talking. I used to come in contact with a lot of people from around the world driving airboats, and they're like, "Oh man, we don't." Personally, I mean, the tourists come and stuff, and yeah, there's people, but you know, you could be right next to something, and if it don't interest you, it just simply doesn't interest you. You know, like I don't care what, dude, drop three Miami prostitutes there, and trust me, everybody will go running the other way. So it's like, in the end, you can have the danger next to you, but people don't necessarily run to it. Especially if it's legalized.
So you're saying that, like, you don't think the government should have any involvement in regulating narcotics of any kind?
No, the only involvement that they should be involved in is if a crime occurs where a person's property, including their person, their physical being, or their belongings, and that's the only time a government should be involved, to take that procedure through the court system and do a trial. That's the only purpose, in my, you know, belief, that government should be involved
so
with that sort of thing.
Crack, meth, cocaine should all be roaming the streets then. No problem.
Yeah, frankly, all of it.
Really?
All of it, yeah. Yeah, government should not be in the, because what happens is the following. They did a test in Portugal.
Hold on, I'm a little bit floored by that, because I don't know. And I know how your view is on government. You don't think government should be involved in anything, really, except the main things that it's supposed to be involved in from the start. I know that.
Right.
What
the Constitution enumerates.
But, man, I mean, I get what you're saying about not having them involved in that, but I don't want to be freaking, you know, the end result of somebody's stupidity because they're on something.
How's that?
I don't want to get hit by a car on somebody that's all freaking wigged out on...
That's... Okay. Okay, and when was the last time someone got drunk, got behind the wheel, or got high and got behind the wheel, even though the laws say not to, and they went ahead and did it? Do you think...
Sure, I understand that, but how many people does the law deter from doing that?
That's what I was going to get to. How many people do you think...
I don't know.
...that the law deters? Well, frankly, the people that do those things don't consider the law. They just go with the flow.
Sure.
It's not government that's keeping us together as a society.
I'm with you.
It's us as individuals, in families, associated with other families locally, and then it branches off, and we are the actual government, and we are the actual country.
Yeah.
We're literally, we, you, I, or actually, let me say that the right way, Rick, Ryan, and I are an example of the microcosm, which is the government, because we are the government. The concept has been flipped because we go to government schools and grow up, and but the truth is that we are the ones that set limits. When we are no longer, want, like Colorado voted to accept drugs, or what is it, marijuana. So now Colorado does weed. Does everybody in Colorado do weed? I don't know what are the numbers in Colorado.
Not everybody in this house, I can tell you that. It won't be in his house very long.
Have the numbers in Colorado gone up as far as crime with drugs or marijuana? I mean,
you're comparing apples and oranges. You're talking about marijuana, and I'm talking about harder drugs.
I see it all as, okay, I see it all as the same on the level of the government is not, that's not their business. Regardless of how good I would want for you not to do a drug, my ability to stop you or the right of the government's ability to stop you stops when they use force against you. And your right stops when you need a fix, so you go and bang someone upside the head or get in a car and crash and damage another person's property. The limit of every free human, okay, and I'm not the first to, this is actually, is your freedom until it breaches another human being. So there is no crime until you've damaged another human being.
Right.
I blame Amy.
Watch it. Right, I believe there's no crime until someone is hurt, but if you can prevent that from happening, I mean, no crime, and I understand what you're saying, but if there's a way to prevent it, why wouldn't you?
Because they can't. The government is not
or deter
to...
maybe not prevent it.
Well, the biggest example is something like alcohol. It was so pervasive, and basically it was passed into law that alcohol was banned, and people did it anyhow. And in fact, it's so... See, regardless, and what happened was that the gangs... The mafia got stronger because of it. You're encouraging criminality by banning stuff that people want. You're making the price of the product higher by banning things that people want. By doing that, you're increasing crime. That's actually what happened with the war on drugs that Reagan, you know, really went... I think it was DARE. Say no to drugs. Don't put... It said, this is your brain. Now, this is your brain on drugs. They would give us little shirts and stuff in elementary school and this and that. All it did was, you know how many floating dead bodies appeared in Miami? Look, man, the more you try to block someone from, the only line is that if they try to encroach on your stuff, that's where the crime is committed. That's it. But if they want to screw up their own life, that's really not a crime. It may be a crime personally, spiritually, emotionally, family-wise, but it's not a crime to you or me, whether they do or don't. You know. So, you know, that's kind of the libertarian... Actually, the libertarian is even more extreme than what I'm saying, but that's what I believe. It causes more crime.
Okay. Rick, would you like to join us?
Dude, come on.
You're doing fine. Episode complete.